These people are insane. That's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. I'm in a mood this morning. In quite the mood. I got a cat playing around here at my legs. I usually try to boot him out. I'm at my home studio this morning. Cat wants to play. I am not in the mood to play this morning. He'll be jumping all over the booth here, climbing up the walls. I'm in a padded room. See, that's the thing. I'm in this padded room. The cat thinks it's one big scratch toy. Likes to climb around and play. And so I'm trying to entertain the cat with my foot while I'm talking to you. And I'm also eating some cinnamon bread and drinking some tea. Basically, I have one hand tied behind my back. And half my mouth full of food. Okay, enough of that. Silliness. I'm in a mood this morning. I've been listening to a couple different things since yesterday's show. I was going to have a show out last night, but as is the usual case around my place, I didn't have time to do the show. I had to leave early. I had to get some stuff done. I had to do a bunch of stuff outside. One thing after another. One thing led to another. And before you know it, the day's over, and I'm eating a bowl of chili. That's the way it went. I suppose I could have done a show late last night. But I thought, well, I'll just wait till this morning because there goes the cat. And the cat's knocking down the wall. Yeah, the door came coming down. Yeah, he likes to do that. I'll just leave that right there. I don't really have a door on this booth. I just have like a sliding sound cover thing that I put over it. Cat likes to climb up that. Of course, it won't stay up. It'll come falling down. And now he's looking at it like this is part of the game. Everything's a game for the cat. They have no sense of remorse. They're just on to the next game. So I was watching Mark Levin last night. He was talking about this. One of the latest scandals now is that the FBI, there's a whistleblower in the FBI that has come out and alleging that the Justice Department, the DOJ, the AG, Merrick Garland, the Honorable Merrick Garland, they always put that on the little sign that's on his, when he gets called before Congress. He went through this whole big, long thing with Congress, and they were asking him questions about the use of the FBI using counterterrorism tactics in the system to go after parents. And he flat out denied that. No, we're not considering them terrorists. We're not using the counterintelligence system. The FBI is not doing that. And now we find out they absolutely were. According to this whistleblower, I'm sure that Adam Schiff will step up and protect the whistleblower because no one likes the word whistleblower more than Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff, I think, said whistleblower, I think it was 37 times in one little speech that he did, like within 10 seconds. So it was like a one-minute speech, and he said whistleblower. He kept calling the person whistleblower, whistleblower, to protect the whistleblower. Whistleblowers' identities are not necessarily supposed to be protected. The whistleblower has to be protected from retribution from the employer or from the government agency that he's whistleblowing on, he or she. But they didn't want to, they wanted to hide behind. The left is notorious, is the word I'll use. Notorious for using straw man theories on things. Joe Biden did this in his speech the other day. Well, you're trying to get across the bridge in a snowstorm, or the bridge catches on fire and you can't get across. There's a fire on the other side, and the bridge collapses. This was his speech. It was. I wish I had it actually recorded because it's. I'm not doing it. I'm rambling around and I'm not even doing it justice. He was actually rambling more than I was. Now you have to go around, 9 miles to get around the bridge, get around on the other bridge and put the fire out. And people are dying. These are people's lives. Well, Joe, the only reason that truck would be going across the bridge to put out a fire is if it was set by someone other than BLM. Because that would have been okay. For some reason, trucks don't go into those kinds of fires. So don't worry about it. Just have BLM set the fire. And you won't have to worry about the trucks. But I digress. I may be confusing. I'm going to be very clear here. I was talking about Mark Levin's name. There's two different FBI events right now. One of them is what Mark Levin revealed yesterday that is so egregious. And then there's the issue of has to do with the Project Veritas issue. And the other one was the whole thing with Merrick Garland and the way they're using the counterterrorism division to go after parents. Okay, first of all, Merrick Garland lied to Congress. This is in a position as the Attorney General, top law enforcement agency in the world, in the country, and with regard to federal law. It came from his desk to do this, and he's the one standing there telling, just bold-faced lying. Some would say bald-faced lying. To Congress. Now, let me just go down a side road here for a second. I should just call this show the side road. That's pretty much all I do. I just says that's just all. Hey, here's a topic. Let's see how far away from it we can get. So, lying to Congress. Why is it such a big deal to lie to Congress? Well, here's what it is. This is the issue. This is the way I see it. And I think this is the way the founders saw it, those who initially made lying to Congress a big deal. It's not because these people who are in Congress are such big shots and they deserve so much that they're so perfect and pure. I think that's what they start to think after a while. They think, "Oh, you've lied to me. That means that's illegal. You can't lie to me." Because they're above the law. No, those people that are there in those chairs, they're not supposed to be there to represent themselves. I think they forget that once in a while, like 90% of the time. Just when they get up to make a speech, they'll say something about representing the people. They're supposed to represent the people. So when you lie to Congress, you're lying to the people of the United States, and the Congress is there to protect the people of the United States. If you're lying to them, that's why there is serious punishment involved. Well, personally, and this is where I think it should go, if I were in Congress, one of the bills or the rules, House rules, or whatever it has to be done, that I would press, along right up there with term limits, is that if a congressman lies to the people, to their representatives, to the media, in any form or fashion in their professional career, when they are speaking as a representative, if they lie, they should get 10 times the punishment. Because now they are, as the people, speaking on behalf of, they're lying. They're putting, they're, as a representative, they're lying to the people. Or they're lying on behalf of the people. It's egregious. And yet they do it all the time. They should be held. There's no accountability. And they should be held accountable. And there is none. Now, how you police that and what you do with it, I don't know. It's a lot like the judicial system itself. Can make a ruling and the executive branch can just ignore it. Because the judicial branch has no real authority, so to speak. They don't have police officers that they depend on the Department of Justice to carry out those orders. And if they don't do that, so what? What are they going to do? There needs to be some kind of accountability, and I don't know what that would take. I've always said there needs to be a fourth branch of government called the People's Branch. This is what Congress was supposed to be. It's what the House was supposed to be. But this would be set up totally different. It would be a position that was beheld by draft. You would be drafted into 2 years of service. So everybody on this board would be randomly picked from society, from a lotteries type system. And that lottery system then would pull up these, you know, say 300 people from the country. They would serve for 2 years. It would be a rotating group. So you would, every couple of months, you'd have, you know, more different people coming out, going in. And they would have ultimate authority over the politicians to hold them accountable, to dig into all their dirt, to audit them, to do what the inspectors general are charged with doing, but they haven't. The inspectors general also have no power. This people's branch would have the ability to hold them to account, as well as to work with inspector generals and other organizations to find out what's going on. So, I don't know. There's got to be something. I'm trying to be creative, thinking out of the box here, folks. Bear with me. Not saying it's a great idea. I'm just saying it's an idea. You come up with your own. So, we have this issue here with the FBI. When you hear me talk about what happened here with Project Veritas, this was probably going to make your head pop off. Or maybe not. I was enraged by this. So the FBI got involved with this diary from Ashley Biden, Joe Biden's daughter. Because, you know, somebody steals a diary and now all of a sudden, you know, the FBI has to get involved. I know they got involved. I had a G.I. Joe when I was a kid that it came up missing and the FBI showed up to talk about who might have it. Oh, granted, it's the president's daughter. Okay, so I understand. But what could possibly be in a diary that would be so important that our tax dollars have to fund the FBI going after it? Well, here's the deal. Imagine, if you will, and this is right out of the FBI's playbook. So James O'Keefe is in a lawsuit. He had filed a lawsuit with the New York Times. I believe it was. I'm not positive of that. I think it was the New York Times. I'm going to use that name. If it's wrong or I figure it out between now and I'm pretty sure it's the New York Times who's involved in this. So in the meantime, someone approaches Project Veritas. Actually, even didn't even approach Project Veritas. It's one of their associates that they do business with, some of their investigators. They didn't approach him, James, directly. He's claiming they have this diary. It's Ashley Biden's. And they end up giving it to them. So they were in possession of this thing. Now, this happened like over a year ago. They were in possession of this diary. Being the organization that has learned the hard way through, they've developed a sense of integrity that they have to maintain. So they tried to vet this diary, trying to figure out whether it was really Ashley's or not, and they discovered that it may have been stolen, or she may have left it. I think what ended up happening was she left it behind someplace, and somebody picked it up. So it ended up happening. I think is what happened. And then they claimed it was stolen. I left a cell phone on a taxi cab one time. I called the taxi company right afterwards. I mean, within minutes after getting out of the taxi. And I was informed that the cell phone wasn't there. Yeah, it was there. That's where my cell phone was. I was talking on my phone in the taxi cab. I got out of the taxi cab and was looking for my phone. It wasn't outside the door. The taxi cab drove off as I'm looking for my cell phone. And I ran and got another phone and called. I think it was actually a payphone. Called the taxi again. Oh, no, I can't find it. I could say that was stolen, but technically it's lost. I lost it. I still say I lost my cell phone. I can't prove it was stolen. This is back when cell phones were just phones. They didn't have a camera. Didn't have a camera on it. This was probably in 2001. So this diary comes up missing, supposedly stolen, and the Veritas organization gets a hold of it. They cannot verify it. So they return it. They try to turn it over to law enforcement. They try to return it to whoever owns it. Nobody would claim it. In fact, the family said, "We know nothing about it. That's not ours." So the next thing you know, these people who are a part of the Project Veritas organization, they get raided by the FBI. And after they get raided, R-A-I-D-E-D, their place gets broken into and gets ransacked. FBI takes off with all the electronic devices. That's a pretty broad scope of things. When a warrant says electronic devices, that's phones, that's computers, CD players, electric lawnmower, whatever you want to take. So they're doing all this stuff, and they're going in there and getting all this stuff. And in the meantime, all of a sudden, they like 2 days later. Of course, he's told not to talk about it. His organization is told not to talk about it. And all of a sudden, the New York Times publishes an in-depth article, letter, headline, whatever you want to talk about. It's a news story, news, about the raid and everything that happened with O'Keefe is under investigation again because of this stolen diary. And of course, the FBI, in the meantime, the FBI raids O'Keefe's house, takes his cell phones, and they start hacking information off of the cell phones. They get all of his confidential sources and information off of the cell phones, all of his interview notes, the investigations he's going into. This is a hit job, folks. Then, and for some reason, the New York Times was the only organization that had the scoop on the story. So now the FBI has all this information. And again, this is the standard SOP. It's their modus operandi. It's the way they do everything nowadays. They gather as much information as they can. They start an investigation and they try to find whatever they can. They don't have probable cause. They don't even have a crime. They just go after somebody. Now this, in my opinion, smells, walks, talks, acts like a setup. Somebody, and this is the whole thing with, same thing we had with Peter Strzok. They were trying to set up the president. They had an insurance policy. This is the way they operate. It is absolutely corrupt. And now they're tied in with certain media organizations. They've become nothing but a political wing. The muscle. And it's absolutely pathetic. Now, I'm not describing the story as well as Mark Levin did and some of the other organizations that have looked into this, what's going on. The timing of things are just uncanny and absolutely pathetic. I'm telling you, Merrick Garland is not a Boy Scout. This guy has evil motives. He doesn't think so. He doesn't think his poop stinks. But I guarantee you, he has philosophical foundations that are absolutely against this country and everything it stands for, or that we think it stands for. The foundations of our nation are being eroded out from under us, and we don't even know it. There's a lot of things I'd like to say about the future of our country and how we correct this. I dare not say it on this platform. There are things afoot happening behind the scenes right now that are threatening our republic, threatening the individual rights that we all have, the civil rights that we all have. This morning I listened, I saw it, it was right there. I thought, well, I'm just going to click on this and try to choke through it. I had to listen to it at 1.25 times speed. There's no way I could have listened to it in real time. Joy Reid was talking about the Arbery case and the Rittenhouse case. She was so creeped out by the fact that Kyle had to draw names out of a hat. Now, she didn't even pay attention to her own report, first of all, because she was saying he picked the jurors. No, he picked the people he picked out of the little drawing thing were the people who would not be on the jury. He was eliminating six people. They had 18 people total. He picked six. which brought the jury down to 12. It's called random drawing, and it's the defense privilege to be able to draw those so that there's no... They write the names down very clearly on paper, put them all in this little tumbler thing. They tumble them, and he draws six names out. The defense has that... Like, he got to choose his own jury. That's just creepy. No, he has a right of having a jury of his peers. This leaves some randomness to this. So that if somebody is on the jury who can throw the jury, there's a good chance that they might be knocked out of it. And there's no shenanigans going on with regard to who's on the jury. Now, there are ways they could do this that would still... There is some integrity issues with even a system like this could be slanted, but it would be very difficult to do so. But it could be done. However, that's the way they do things in that... There are many counties in this country that do things that way. And Wisconsin is one of the, I guess, this in this particular court system. It's one of their options. It's not unheard of. Just because they haven't seen it on any movies or television shows doesn't mean it doesn't happen. This is just their ignorance coming through once again. Saying it was some kind of... This judge's courtroom is a circus. That's what she's saying. And she's saying that, of course, the song that on his ringtone on his phone, it's a patriotic song. Obviously, he's a Trump supporter. Because, you know, patriots, people who love the country and wave the flag, they're the enemy. It's the people who kneel for the anthem and kneel before the flag, put a knee down and protest and burn the flag. Those are the people who we really want. Those are the good guys. That's what side they're on this thing. And we're talking about how he was made that comment about Chinese food. Well, he did order Chinese food, Joy. He ordered Chinese. Apparently, he's not terribly racist, or he wouldn't have ordered Chinese food. He made a comment about them ordering pizza yesterday for lunch. Well, yeah, because he wouldn't make any comments about Chinese food. If he ordered Chinese food, just because he said maybe they were stuck on a ship someplace out there in the harbor, he's trying to just bring some levity to the event. The fact that there's all these ships out there with all the stuff on it, coming from China, mostly. That's not derogatory towards China. That's a problem we have here in the United States. It's not China's fault that they brought their ships over here to unload. We ordered the stuff. It's not racist, Joy. Oh, white people. She even said that. Oh, white people, whatever. She's not racist because she has no institutional power. She's just on television every day, talking to people, has an audience of, 30 or 40 people probably. But she has no institutional power. She can't be racist. Well, maybe you can't be racist. Okay, well, if that's the way you want to define it, but you can certainly be a bigot. You can certainly be discriminative. You can certainly hate white people. Okay, let's just put it that way. Let's put it even nicer. You hate white people, Joy. I was surprised when they put up the pictures of the people that Kyle had shot, showing that they were all white. He's obviously a white supremacist. He's out there shooting white people. They're trying to make him out to be the hero of the right, of the radical right wing. Of course, now, see, when they start talking about radical white wing, right wing, they consider the KKK and white supremacy to be part of the alt-right or the radical right wing of the Republican Party. The KKK was established and started and run for many years, and still basically is, by the Democrat Party. But they absolve themselves from that. They kind of wash their hands from that. Oh, no, that wasn't us. Yes, it was. They said that someplace in there they flipped. Give me the date. Tell me the day that it flipped. You're the ones that absolved yourself of it. You guys wanted it to flip. You guys started denying it. That's what you started doing. White supremacists, the head of the white supremacist party or whatever they are, the group, the organization, actually organizations, like there's like 10 of them. The actual group leader was not a Trump supporter. They are more of a socialist organization. They would fall more into Bernie's camp in terms of what they believe. And this is, I'm not just saying that. You can find their interviews. They've been interviewed on all over the place. There's video of them all over the internet of being interviewed and talking about this whole thing. They were not Trump supporters. And yet Trump was, you know, the big white supremacist, white nationalist. The lies just don't end. And of course, here's the problem. Here's the real problem, folks. And I know I realize this is difficult to say because you don't want this to be the case, but it is the case. You have the right to be a white supremacist in this country. There's no crime. You have the right to hate someone. You don't have the right to harm them. If you want to be a bigot in your heart, you can be a bigot in your heart. That's a right you have. But what you do with that, and the motive that drives you to, the way you manifest that hatred, that bigotry, that racial discrimination could be illegal. And that's what we're talking about here. Simply making a statement that you consider to be racist is not necessarily legal. However, coming out and saying there will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed if you, the mayor, do this. That's called inciting a riot. That's incendiary. That's more of an insurrectionist mindset. That's, you know, President Trump said nothing like that on January 6th. And yet this guy walks away with it scot-free because he has no institutional power. You're telling me that BLM is not an institution and there's no power there? But I digress. There's another story this is getting some traction, actually, and it's really interesting. Very interesting, in fact, my opinion. Kamala la 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 la. Apparently, now I think personally, I think this is a trap. I think that the left is doing something. There's something going on, and the left basically is trying to play the media and spin the media. They know how to do that, by the way. And they're doing a very good job of it at the moment. Personally, I think that they are trying to I don't know. I think they're trying to fool the media into doing something. I don't know how to put this. Let me gather my thoughts and take a sip of tea. It's peach tea, again, just like I had yesterday. It's not as hot as it should be, but it's peach tea. Hot peach tea. Peach flavored. There's so many different ways of this. Because remember my philosophy here. Everything is theater. Theater. It's the theater of the politics. It's welcome to political theater. So apparently there's this riff going on between Kamala la-la-la-la and Joe Biden. Now, if you've noticed, Joe has been signing bills and stuff lately and been doing things, and Kamala has not been standing there like a hovering shadow behind her. Behind him, whatever. Like as soon as he drops over, she's ready to slide into the seat. And she has not been around much for that. Now, she's been going over to Europe. Of course, when she was asked if she's been to the border, she says, yeah, we've been to the border. We've been to the border. We've been to the border. We're at the border. We've been to the border. And then he says, well, but you haven't been to the border. And she goes, well, I haven't been to Europe either. Well, now she's been to Europe. So now what? You going to go to the border? Is the border next? Is that what's going to happen next? I doubt it. So, she went to someplace down in Texas. It wasn't where the problem is. There was over 136 encounters. 136,000 encounters, I think, last month in October. Mayorkas, I guess, has basically said that there's an estimate of 2 million people now that have come across the border this year so far, since January. Speaking of the last year, I don't know if this is true or not. I heard this statistic, and I'm trying to do the math, and I think it's correct. Of all the money ever printed by the U.S. Treasury, in the last year, of all the money to date that has been printed, 40% of it has been printed in the last year with all the spending that's going on. In the last year, we have printed 40% of our exchange. Now, think about that. Don't think about it too long because your head might pop off. And your head already popped off because of the other FBI story. And yet they're blaming inflation. I mean, it won't be long before $15 an hour minimum wage is not even a living wage anymore, because inflation is going up on average over the country much higher than wages are going up. This is, like I've said before, this is a perfect storm. You have supply chain issues, which will drive prices up as well. Labor will drive prices up as well. And they're getting ready to try to get this mega Mongo trillion-dollar bill. Now, this infrastructure, and I use that term lightly because they apparently didn't think much of it when they put it in the bill. The infrastructure bill, it's like $1.2 trillion or whatever it is. There's an independent budget organization that audited the thing and said it's going to be well over $2 trillion. They do this all the time because there's overruns on everything. And just if you take the average overruns and just go, you know, give it a realistic view, it's going to be over $2 trillion. The next bill that they were trying to tie to it, they're trying to run both bills through at the same time and make them both like a piggyback type thing. They had them uncoupled from each other. The next bill is over $2 trillion. I think they were trying to get $4 or $5 trillion. Bernie wanted $8 trillion. Now, he's all mad because it's not going to be enough. AOC's mad because it's not going to be enough. And the squad, they're all mad. And then you've got some others that say it's too much. And you got Sinema and Manchin, who are supposedly pushing back on this big, huge bill. And they'll cave. They might even get a Republican. You know, Romney or somebody's going to step up and go, yeah, we need this. Because I'm old and stupid, and I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm older than Joe Biden, and my eyes are sunk back into my head so far I can almost see the front of my skull. I don't even know what that means. So this stuff is going on. We're spending like drunken sailors. like it doesn't have any effect. In the meantime, we have inflation that they keep claiming is transitory. Now they realize it's not. It's just going to be a blip and then it's going to go back down. No, that's not the way inflation works. If it goes back down, that means we have deflation. I would like to point out that we have very rarely in this country had any kind of deflation at all. It's only happened twice that I know of since I've been alive, in my lifetime. Once was in the early 70s. And then we had a time of, it was very short-lived in the mid-80s, where we had a little bit of deflation. Those are the only two times I know of. There has been retractions in the economy. But I guarantee you, 60 years ago, if you had $1,000 in the bank, and you took that $1,000, what it would buy you back then and what it will buy you today, you could have bought a really nice car with $1,000 back in the around 1960. Could have bought a decent car, brand new, for $1,000. There were houses, nice houses. Nice little property, two-story house, garage. Could have bought for $10,000. That $10,000 would not buy you a decent new car now. You might be able to find one that's a new car, but it's not going to last you more than 2 or 3 years, and it's a throwaway. It's pathetic. So we haven't had a serious deflation. We've had a chance for wages to catch up to the inflationary prices. When I was a kid, I was working. I had a job. I think I told you about this. This has been a previous story, obviously, but I had a job working delivering television sets, televisions and big, huge stereo radio cabinets, because we used to repair them. So I had a job helping deliver those things, picking them up, delivering them, fixing them, whatever, cleaning up the shop. And I was making money, and I was basically just making money to for a car payment. That's all I cared about. I was paying for my car. I went into slavery basically right off the bat with a car loan. So I was doing that. I was buying this car. Good car. And in the process of doing that, I went to Burger King or something one day with my friends. Had a moment of free time. And I was there and I realized how much my dollar could buy. And I'd bought a cheeseburger and I bought something else. And I was still hungry because I was a growing kid. I would go get two double cheeseburgers, large fries, and two large drinks, and then top it off with a milkshake. And that was just lunch. And I'd go home and eat my parents out of, everything out of the refrigerator. And then we'd have supper. It was pathetic. I don't know how they could afford it. I don't understand these people have like four sons, four boys growing up. I don't know how they do it. They just eat like monsters. They never see their dad because their dad's always off trying to make enough money to feed their kids. Mother's constantly cooking or going to the grocery store, one of the two. They got this big food truck that, they drive back and forth to the grocery store. So they just shovel food into the house. Just shove more food for the kids. Just keep shoveling it in there. Keep them happy. So I got to this burger joint, and I realized that I had this like light bulb moment. I think a cheeseburger was like 25 cents or 30 cents, something like that. 40 cents maybe. all I remember is it was extremely cheap. And I was like, you know what? I can buy another one. So I just did. It's kind of the first time I started kind of buying things for myself. Up until then, I was kind of dependent upon my parents to, you know, buy me food and stuff. And I never really thought about buying myself stuff much. I mean, as far as food, taking care of myself. That's kind of when I started realizing I could actually do that. But of course, I still, you know, sponged off them as much as I could. I wasn't crazy. I was the youngest of their children, so I was the most spoiled. So anyway, enough of that to be said. So Kamala is not getting along apparently with Joe. And there's this talk of behind the scenes and some people on the inside that are saying that they're looking into the way to vet a vice president. Now, if you recall, I've been saying for the last year, all this year anyway, that I don't think Joe is going to make it through a whole year. I'd be very surprised if they're not already talking about, they're going to be talking about replacing Joe by the end of the year. Now, or after the first of the year, they'll come out and publicly start talking about it. Behind the scenes, apparently they're saying something about it. I think the problem that they're having right now is that Kamala is not very well liked by the administration or by anybody really on the left. The squad doesn't like her. You notice they're not hanging around her like, hey, this is our girl. Now, everybody's been, I've noticed that Pete Buttigieg has been in the news again lately. Well, you know, he was gone there for a while because he was having his little, you know, he had to take like 2 or 3 months, 4 months off, whatever it was, because he was having his paternity leave or whatever. They adopted a couple kids because they can't have kids. I'm not sure if you know how that works. Two men who are supposedly married cannot have children. They can't birth children. As much as they might want to say that they identify as whatever they identify as, they can't identify as a birthing person because neither one of them have a womb. And sure, they can adopt kids. That's apparently they can because they did. That still does not make you a birthing person. But they, at any rate, he was on parental leave, paternity leave, whatever. I guess you should just get 18 years to be on paternity leave because that's about how long it takes to raise a kid. Probably, you know, maybe 21 years. Get them through college. 24. Maybe 30. Because, you know, I got grandkids coming along. So now all of a sudden, Pete Buttigieg is in the news again quite a bit. I don't know if they're grooming him to be the guy or whoever he identifies to be. To step into the position. I doubt it. Somehow I doubt it. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, here's a couple ways this can play out. They may be looking for some way to replace the vice president because Kamala is going to step in as president and they need to congressionally confirm a new vice president. That's how that works. Now, you realize they if they know that they're going to be losing the 2022 elections, they have to do this soon because they have to be the one, Congress has to be the ones to place or confirm the VP. They're not going to want that in the hands of a Republican Congress. That would probably not go well for them. That would be another circus show. So who knows what they're going to do? Now, they could also play that as well, though. They could make you know, a lot of news media out of that. Because whoever they put up there, the person would be a racist, bigot, whatever, misogynist, who knows what. My guess is that they've got somebody. I don't know who's on the bench there. But they've probably got somebody that they want to put into the VP position. It's certainly not going to be Tulsi Gabbard. She has come out as at least a moderate. She hasn't come out, but she's come out as a moderate. Anybody ever asked why she has no boyfriend? Doesn't have a husband. She's from Hawaii. Anybody ever asked her that question point blank? Probably not, because we don't really care on the right. It's not something that it's who cares? But at the same time, anybody ask that question? There's something going on there. My little dog has come down here to, one of my little dogs has come down here to visit me. I don't have the door shut because the cat was here. So now he's found me. I'm not sure where the other dog is. Probably upstairs sleeping. My little Australian shepherd. This could be the possibility that they're going to move. It's possible they could be talking about moving Carmella up to the POTUS position and having somebody else confirmed in as a VP. And maybe it's Pete. Wouldn't that be great? And now, it's also possible that they are looking at getting rid of Carmella and putting somebody in. Now, right now, they could pick whoever they want. And then conveniently, Joe can step out. And the reason they want to do this is because they want Joe to step out. This is a chess move for them. So they know Joe is going to be stepping out, so they've got to get this VP confirmed. So they can have Joe step out and take with him all the baloney that they've thrown on him in his administration, all the stuff that's happened. They can blame everything on him. Have somebody else come in to rescue them, to rescue all of us. And then they would have to have a new VP step in behind that. So here's my thinking. They're going to pick the person that they want to be the president, because they can pick whoever they want to now. It doesn't have to be an election at all. An unelected individual. They appoint someone into that position. Could be Hillary. I doubt it. And then that person would move into the presidential position, and then they have, right away they turn right around and they appoint another VP. And now they have, the party has appointed the president and the vice president. I believe that is what they are planning to do. I didn't see the angle of actually getting rid of Carmella, but I believe that that's the only thing standing in their way of getting rid of Joe. I think that they actually want Joe to step down. They want someone else to step into that position. Now, what if that person steps into that position? Because they need a woman of color, in my opinion, to replace her. Because it's not about qualifications, it's about identity. Well, what woman of color do you think would poll well and put all the same people who basically are still running the show back into office? I'll give you two guesses, and the first one doesn't count. Michelle Obama. Because now you've got Barack back in the spotlight. And you've got Michelle, who is supposedly dearly loved by everyone. She's not polarizing at all. My dog is trying to dig a hole in the floor. But this could be somebody. Now, there's also Loretta Lynch. There's some other people as well. I mean, I don't think AOC would be a possibility. I don't think she's not old enough, for one thing. Not even, and there's some others. I don't know. There's a few on the fringe. My guess is they've got somebody that they're going to just pull out of a hat that hasn't been too much in the public eye that much. Don't know who that's going to be. Stacey Abrams, maybe. That's not possible either. She's too busy being the governor of Georgia. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens here in the next month or so. My guess is right after Christmas, after the first of the year, it's going to be public, and we're going to be hearing about stuff going on that is, you know, right down the row of this whole thing of what's going on with the, well, we have to replace, you know, Joe's getting, you know, he's deteriorating. He's not in good health, whatever it is. And of course, Kamala is going to be, I don't think they're going to install her. I really think that they're going to try to move her out. Now, wouldn't it be ironic if they didn't get her out in time and something happened to Joe? I think they're concerned about Joe's health at this point. I don't know. We'll just have to see how it works out. And in the meantime, we have China doing its thing. While Joe was in a discussion with China, putting the pressure on them, telling them how it's going to be, we're watching you, China is flying jet planes over Taiwan. Yeah, that's... he's basically laughing at us. Something is afoot with China. Don't know what that is. Something is afoot with the Democrat Party. The FBI and the DOJ and the AG are not your friend. And the mandates, let's hope the mandates are going down. It's a very good possibility. I'm going to talk about that this afternoon, about the case right now with the judges that have stayed the mandate. God bless everybody. Have a great evening.